I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The scripture today is John 3, 1 through 17. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel at that I said to you, you must be born anew. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes and whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can this be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you of earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." May God add his blessing to the reading of the word.
Thank you, Troy. Nicodemus is an interesting character. He is a ruler of the Jews. He is a teacher of Israel. And he's one other thing. He's scared. And it must be pointed out that he, in spite of being a learned individual and part of the in crowd at that time, is open to learning from Jesus, who is neither a ruler nor a teacher of Israel. Well, now somebody may say, "Preacher, he is a ruler." But remember his words. He said, "His kingdom is not from this world." Well, then you might say, "Well, he is a teacher, not of Israel. He's a teacher of every human being that's ever been born." Well, here he is, Nicodemus, with Jesus. And Jesus understands him. He's going to entertain him, even though he comes to him in the dark of night. And Jesus, if you notice, never really answers the question. Do you ever notice that? Here's an example. He says to him, "For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Did you hear a question about the kingdom of God? Jesus knew what was in Nicodemus' heart, and he was going to address what he knew Nicodemus really wanted to know. And he wanted to know about the kingdom of God. Now, I had a professor, he said, you don't have to go for a home run in every sentence. It will exhaust you and the reader. I always tell my students that every paragraph needs an ox-like sentence that does the work. It should be simple and short. Don't hide or disguise what you need to say for the sake of cleverness. Just tell me what I need to know. And Jesus is telling him what he needs to know, not what he's asking about. Jesus knew exactly why Nicodemus came to him. Jesus understood people like Nicodemus who were afraid to be seen with Jesus, so afraid that in spite of being one of the highly respected men in the community, he still did not feel he could be himself. Can you imagine being Nicodemus, who is a teacher and people revere him, but he's afraid of what people might see him do? And yet he's really a person who's open to learning. He's a person who wants to go to Jesus and say, I know what my friends all tell me, that I know it all, but I'm smart enough to know that I don't. Jesus knew that knowledge is the distilled essence of our intuitions, corroborated by experience. Nicodemus intuitively knew that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. He knew that no one could do what Jesus had done and be anything less. And Jesus knew when he said one must be born anew that Nicodemus wouldn't get it. Few of us do. When Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born anew, he was telling him that you must let go of your old ways of thinking and be open to new teachings. Lord knows, Jesus came up against a lot of people who weren't open to new teachings. Let go of what you think you know and learn that which you do not know. Rather than operate as an automaton, you must operate as though every day is a new day made for new experiences and new ways of doing things, including worshiping God. You see, that is something that even you believe, even if you don't know it. I mean, you wonder, how can you say that? I'm open to new ways. You must be. If you weren't, you'd still be worshiping as the Jews did back in Jesus' day. But you heard the teachings of Jesus, and you said there's new ways to do this. And so we do. Jesus and Nicodemus, it's an amazing combination, the two of them talking. Then Jesus says that one must be born of water and the Spirit. Again, Nicodemus is puzzled. What does that mean, he thinks. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, do you recall a time when Peter was standing with Jesus and Jesus said that he must go to the Father, and Peter said, no, we'll protect you. We'll make sure that never happens. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You think like man, flesh, not like God, spirit. This may seem amazing even to us, but listen to what Jesus says next. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born anew. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus says, how can this be? How can this be? We wonder how that can be. We have people that are graduating, whether it be from high school or college, and they're starting new adventures. But what happened? What happened to all of us when we graduated, wherever we graduated from, and we got into a routine? And some of us spend our lives saying, I've been doing this job for 30 years. I'm so glad when I retire, I want out. Probably because we never learned anything new. We didn't look for anything new. We got into a routine. We got set. We stuck with what we knew, and we weren't about to move around. It happens. A lady visiting the Holy Land came upon a sheepfold located high on a hilltop. Her attention was drawn to one poor sheep lying by the side of the road, bleeding in pain. Looking more closely, she discovered that its leg was injured. She asked the shepherd how it happened. I had to break it myself, he said sadly. It was the only way I could keep that wayward creature from straying into unsafe places. From past experience, I have found that a sheep will follow me once I have nursed it back to health. Because of the loving relationship that will be established as I care for her in the future, she will come instantly at my beck and call. The woman replied thoughtfully, "Sometimes we poor human sheep also want our stubborn ways, and as a result, we stray into dangerous paths." Jesus knew the Jews of his time were stubborn. He knew they were broken because of it and needed to be born again. They needed to hear the word again. They needed to hear it in a new way. They need to hear it in a way in which it will resonate and create change. Renew their faith by hearing the living word, not the word as written by man, not the rules and laws man had written that were no longer valid, and what the modern world that Jesus lived in, the modern world, had done. Think of this. You got Moses wandering in the desert. Now these are a people with a city. This is the modern world. And Jesus says, you're still living like you're out there in the desert. You're not in the desert anymore. You don't need a lot of this stuff that you've carried with you. That's baggage. Let's get rid of that. Hear the living word of God. God brought you to a new place. So start new. We humans are curious animals. We won't eat stale bread, but we will eat stale words for centuries and centuries. Hear these words of Jesus again. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. In other words, it's never the same. It's ever-changing, unpredictable. You do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. That we open our minds, we open our ears, we open our eyes to the new lessons that God teaches us every day. Awesome things that we did not expect is a perfect description of genuine rebirth, because the unpredictable and unusual are the characteristics of great spiritual awakenings. Now, some of you may say, but I'm just comfortable where I am. At least I know what's going to happen day to day. I know I'm going to get up tomorrow. I'm going to go to work. I know that when I get off work, I'm going to come home and I'm going to eat. And I know that after I eat, I'm going to watch some TV and I'm going to go to bed. And that's how I'm comfortable. But what if God is calling you to something more? What if God is calling you to help someone else? What if God is calling you to serve in the community? I'm going to share a phone call with you. I want you to think about this and see if this could be you. This is a real phone call. Caller, I need to explain something, or I need to complain about something about my car I had there on Friday night before you closed. They didn't fix my car. Did they say why not? The person who answered said. Caller, they made up something about not having a part. But I know it was because they were lazy and didn't want to fix it. Manager says, well, that's a bit unusual. My guys get paid on commission and want to do every job possible so they can make more money. Caller, no, they were just being lazy. I had to take my car to the dealership on Monday, and they were able to fix it right away. Manager, ma'am, the dealership carries all those parts. That's where we get our parts from if we can't get them from any other source. If it was late on a Friday night, the dealership was probably already closed. Caller, baloney. I am very upset about your poor service. I thought you were the manager. I want to know what you're going to do for me about this. Manager, I'm sorry we weren't able to help you to your satisfaction, ma'am. I can't give you a refund because we didn't charge you anything. I'd offer to fix your car at a discount, but you said you've already got it fixed. What is it you would like for me to do for you, ma'am? Caller, well, you know, You know what you're supposed to do in these cases. Manager, well, normally I'd offer a discount or a refund, but neither of those would help you. Is there anything else I can offer you? I am sorry for your inconvenience. I don't want your stupid apology. I can't believe you are refusing to help me. I'm not refusing, the manager said. I just don't know what it is you want. The caller, you know what I want. I want you to do what you're supposed to do. And the manager says, and what is that? Caller, you know what you're supposed to do. I'm going to call your corporate office and have you fired. Manager, ma'am, if you don't tell me what it is you want, I don't know what to do for you. Caller, don't give me that. I'm going to have you fired, and hangs up. The woman clearly did not know what she wanted the manager to do. She was angry and frustrated, but did not truly know why. People came to Jesus, and they said, I want help. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? You remember that? When they come to him, he says, what can I do for you? But the Sadducees, the Pharisees, all these others are, well, I don't know. Just do what you're supposed to do. Well, tell me what you want. Well, that's it. I'm going to have you crucified. Nicodemus comes in the dark of night. He fears retribution. He's afraid if any of his peers sees him talking to Jesus, they may have him crucified, and he's not putting his life on the line. See, that's just like the Jews of Jesus' time. They were angry and frustrated with Jesus, but they didn't know why. So they accused him of changing everything that they did know. Reality is, they were angry and frustrated because of their dead faith. Angry and frustrated because their faith was dead. Jesus wanted so badly to help them, but they didn't even know what they wanted because they were blinded by ritual, by, I don't know how to respond to you, but I know I'm unhappy about having what I do know changed. Don't mess with what I know. And Jesus says, but what you know is dead. You're no longer worshiping God. You're worshiping rules and laws and things that have nothing to do with God. God is the living Word. So, in a word, they were uncomfortable. Jesus made people uncomfortable, not because who he was, but because he had made them aware of what they had become. Nicodemus came to Jesus in the dark of night because he was uncomfortable being seen asking for help with his faith. After all, he and all other Jews had been told what to believe. So when Jesus came and said, open your eyes and ears to what I have to show and tell you, they said, no, I've already been told by tradition what to believe. And I have never questioned that tradition. I've never thought to myself my tradition could be wrong, that those who write things down may have got it wrong. So Jesus, the living Word, was scorned and hated. Nicodemus, however, was willing to listen, to learn, and to hear the living Word, as long as it was in the dark. Is that where your faith is? Is that where my faith is? Do we live our faith in the dark? Are we so afraid that someone may find out that we're willing to listen and willing to change? Are we so stuck on tradition that we don't really hear the words of Jesus? If so, today is a most excellent day to bring your faith to light. To the light of Jesus Christ. On this day when we celebrate graduation, newness, going out, starting new, this is the day. If you've been in the dark, stand in the light. Hear the word of Jesus. Hear the word that says, you're free. Always be open to learning. Be people of the Spirit. You don't know where it's going. And that's a good thing, because the Spirit can take you to new heights, places you've never been, experiences you've never had, and they'll be good. They'll be good. God bless our graduates for your new adventure. May we, all of us, join you in a new adventure in walking with our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we stand before you, we find ourselves at times questioning who we are, what we are to do, who we should even listen to. Yet we know, O Lord, it is your voice that we should listen to. And we know that you're ever-changing, ever-loving, that you're always with us, and we're always in your arms. Continue to be with us, Lord, that we may have a new experience this day, for we ask this in your name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.